Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We are thankful to be joining you here today for the next half hour in your spiritual journey. And it is Friday. And that is always a wonderful, glorious thing. It's my day off. And we are going to celebrate all the goodness of God, and like to invite you out to our services. Sunday morning, we have Sunday school at 9:30, and then we have worship at 10:30. And Wednesday nights, we have Bible study. We're getting close to the end of the book of Revelation, and then we'll be diving into another study shortly thereafter. So if church is located 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. There's a farmer's market that takes place on Sundays, one street over from us over on McLeod. I've been there. The first day that it was out there. If you're interested in that, I didn't see a whole lot of produce, but I did see some things like honey and other things. When we were over there, but I would imagine their hope is that will continue to grow, but we pray that people will have a hunger for the Word of God that would be greater than the hunger we have for other things. By the way, I will say this. I'm really excited about a sermon series that I'm going to be doing in the first of the year. I believe that God in 2026 is going to cause some things that have kept people in bondage in their life to be broken. There is a scripture that God showed me, and I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. And we're going to be diving into the Word of God and preaching specifically about seeing people set free, the strongholds destroyed, and the weapons that are used against them being disarmed and rendered useless in 2026. So we're looking forward to that. Also going to be sharing some messages towards the holidays that God quickened to my spirit. And I had a conversation, I was having a conversation with another pastor, and all of a sudden there was just this moment where a concept came alive, and I shared that principle with my daughter, and she said, that's really good. And so we're going to be sharing that in the month of December. I'm excited about all that God has in store for us in the coming days. Today we are going to dive back into Psalm 138. I'm going to just read verses 4 through 8 today. We're talking about praising God, and I'm here to tell you that you can praise God even during difficult times. And so don't let anything keep you from praising the Lord. So David had written, I'll set the stage for you. He had written that God had anointed his word, or had magnified his word above all his name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Verse 4 says this, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Verse 4 says, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. That would be something that is glorious, that all of those who have authority, who are there to be servants of those who are under their dominion, that all of those people would recognize that highest priority that they have, and that is to live in obedience to the Lord in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, and that all of the kings of the earth would praise the Lord. Wouldn't that be marvelous? When I teach the structure of authority, I talk about that the highest level of authority is God. And as we see here in verse number 2, that his word has got to be preeminent in our life, more important than our emotions, more important than peer pressure, more important than our finances. Obedience to God is our highest priority. Underneath that are those who have authority over us. And as long as they stay under God's authority, everything is going to go well. The Bible talks about righteousness exalts a nation. It works out best for civilization when those in authority live under God's authority. That was what caused the Roman centurion to tell Jesus, I don't need you to come to my house. You just speak the word and my servant will be healed. He said, I'm a man under authority. Therefore, I say to this one, go and he goes, and to this one, do this and he does it. It was because he understood that he was under authority and he recognized the authority of Jesus and that all Jesus needed to do was speak the word. So our mission should be, whether it is a person who is just sovereign under God over their own life, or if it's over a family, over a business, whether it's over a geographic area, whatever it might be, that every person praises the Lord, that they recognize that God is the highest in their life, and that they should praise the Lord. So when Solomon was ruling, the Queen of Sheba showed up and she said, I had heard things in my land, but after coming here and experiencing everything that I see, half of it was not told me. One passage says she had heard of the fame of the Lord that was being exhibited in Solomon's life. I believe that we should live our lives in such a way that other people will hear about the goodness of God. They will hear about the word of God when they hear the words of your mouth. So we talked about the elevated word on yesterday's program, the exalted word, the magnified word. People need to hear the word of God coming out of our mouth. That should be our response. I preached a message on biblical holiness here a few weeks ago. And I preached it from something I had seen. I was working towards that sermon. That was the pinnacle message of a four sermon series. And I was watching something with one of my grandchildren, and I saw a person, and I said, they look a lot. They're the way that they conducted themselves seemed to be something that was a desirable replication, if you will, of the character of Jesus. In other words, you know, people, a lot of times they will say, I don't have a problem with God. I have a problem with his children. They don't like the way that the children of God conduct themselves. Sometimes that's because we conduct ourselves badly. Sometimes it's just because they're looking for an excuse. But this person, when I saw them, I said, I want Jesus to make me more like Jesus, because I see that he's made that person more like Jesus. And if he can do it for them, I know he can do it for us. When people hear the words that come out of our mouth, it should be words of faith. It should be words of thanksgiving, recognizing that God is on the throne. When we are pressed by the pressures of life, the word of God should be what comes out. So it shouldn't be complaining and murmuring and groaning and complaining. There's enough of that in the world. You know what there's not enough of? The word of God that says, hey, he works all things out together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. A lot of people only quote the first part of that. They don't quote the rest of that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Monday's program. When they hear the words of your mouth, yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. It says, for great is the glory of the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the prevailing mindset of society towards the word of God, if all of a sudden that was changed from people being critical of the Lord and trying to elevate theories over the truth of God's word, trying to undermine what God has deemed to be priceless in nature, and that is he created mankind in the image of God. He created us body, soul, and spirit. We live in a distorted image of that creation at this point in time, because sin does that. It changes us. It distorts us. It brings us pain and misery. But God can still transform us and make us more like Jesus. And as we go about, I pray that people will say, you know what? God's been really good to them. When something supernatural happens in our life, it shouldn't be something, oh, I don't believe that really happened. I think people should really say, praise God. Praise God for a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so the David here is talking about his relationship with God was one that he desired, not just for the nation of Israel, but he wanted it for all the peoples of the world. That God's way were something not to be rejected. They were something to sing and celebrate about, to see that God is not an imperfect being on the throne, but he's a glorious occupant of the throne. He's righteous and true in all of his ways. We should be walking billboards for the kingdom of God that people say, wait a minute, I knew them years ago. The person I see now has been transformed. I wonder what changed in their life. And the answer should be the presence of God, the goodness of God. Jesus came and forgave us of our sins. Verse number, goodness, I scratched my eye there. Verse number 6 says this, though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. David recognizes that the throne room of God is something that we will only be able to understand when we are there. There is no throne room, no palace or mansion here on earth that is ever going to be able to compare to the throne room. The throne room of God is spectacularly glorious. It's beautiful. It is occupied. It is a place where kingdom business is transacted around the clock. God is not asleep. He is not on vacation. He's not slumbering. He is God on the throne. And he is high and exalted, rightfully adored. But while he's on the throne, he regards the lowly. He regards the humble. There's a saying that says there are people who are born with a gold spoon in their mouth, and some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Not gold, but it's silver. Hey, that's not too bad. Jokingly, I say that there are people who are born with plastic spoons in their mouth, or some people who were born with a wooden spoon like you would get in the old ice cream cups. You know, it would come little with a little wooden thing that you could eat the ice cream with. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is when it comes to God. God is watching. God is actively involved. The Holy Spirit is actually pursuing every human being on the planet to point them to Jesus, to make them aware of the greatest offer that has ever been extended to man, and that is that God the Son, Jesus Christ, shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could be reconciled with the Father, that we could spend forever in the presence of God. Even though everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it's the greatest offer that's ever been made. It is available to people who were born in financial situations that I can't even comprehend. But it is also available to people who were born in such desperate situations that I can't comprehend that. We have raised money through the years for missions programs that reached people who were living in the local dump. The reason that they were living there was because that was where they would go through the garbage and find the food that had been discarded, and they were rummaging through the rejects of society that had been thrown away. And the crazy thing that one missionary said is there were kids who were born into that situation, and they don't know any different. They don't know that there's other living arrangements that are out there. And so they're out there and they're thriving in deplorable conditions. And one of the missions projects that we raised wasn't just to provide food for them, but there were ministers who actually went and took the gospel and planted a church at the local dump. That's not here in America, but that's what happened. There were so many people living there, they said, we need to take the gospel to these people. I want you to know that the most important evaluation at the end of your life is not what your bank account balance looks like. But instead, it's who is living in your heart. Is Jesus living as your Lord and Savior? Are you living in obedience to Him? Are you living under His authority, living and doing all things for the glory of God? Those are the things that are important. And so God looks on the humble. He looks on upon people that others may turn away from, but He doesn't look at them to just say, yeah, I saw that. That was terrible. He looks upon people to change their circumstances. David, while his father had many sons, and there were some that were handsome, there was an age disparity in there. David was just considered good enough to watch the sheep or deliver some cheese sandwiches to his brothers. But David took that opportunity of watching the sheep to learn about God and see God deliver even in perilous times. And so David is speaking, I know that God, who is seated on high, who is seated at the pinnacle of all that is, He still looked upon me when I was a shepherd or when I was just the food delivery person for my brothers. And God looked upon me when no one else really, I mean, David's father didn't even invite him out of all of his sons to his own coronation service by Samuel. Samuel said, that all the sons you have? Well, there's one more, but he's just out watching the sheep. Get him. We've got business to take care of. And David was a person that was after the heart of God. I can tell you this. You can't buy a miracle with money. I mean, we are called to be obedient in our finances, but it's not to be a spectacle. Our giving is not to draw attention to us. Our giving is an act of faith and trust in God and say, God, You've been faithful over the most difficult seasons in my life, and I honor You with my finances, not just with the words of my mouth. So that socioeconomic status is not something that is supposed to be a sideshow or anything like that. What I will tell you about David is this. Even when God looked upon him, when all he was a shepherd or a pizza delivery guy, if you will, he didn't stay that way. God exalted him. Nations came and worshiped. Let me rephrase that again. I apologize. My wrong word comes. People came from all across the globe to recognize the authority of David and the blessings that God had poured upon his life. They came bearing gifts for David. By the time David got to the end of his life, he wasn't in those lowly circumstances anymore. God had radically changed his situation for the good. Now, verse number 6 concludes this, but the proud He knows from afar. I just want to say this about that verse. First of all, God hates pride outside of the church, and God hates pride inside of the church. The only thing we have to boast of is if we make our boast in the Lord. I'm so thankful that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. I'm so thankful that the loved one that we had that passed away recently, that Jesus was the Lord of their life, that they were a person of prayer. God hates pride. Hates it. And it says here, but the proud He knows from afar. pride creates distance between us and God. Distance that God does not want. Pride is something that reflects what Lucifer exhibited, and that's not something we want to duplicate in our life. I don't want to be fixated on me. I want to be fixated upon God. I want you to be focused on the goodness and the greatness of God, that if it wasn't for God, we could do nothing. Okay? That's a reality. If it wasn't for the goodness of God, we would be incapable of doing much of anything. You say, well, there's some ungodly people and they do some great things. You know, Jesus said the sun shines on the righteous or on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. There are some people that have skill sets that they've been gifted with by God. The question is, are they going to use them for the glory of God? Or are they going to use them for the glory of themselves? The Bible says this: God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so if you don't want God as a person who is standing in your way saying, don't go down this path, there's a better path. It is a straight and a narrow path. This is the path of destruction. You don't want on that path. You want to stay humble. You want to stay in a place where you say, God, I need you today just as much as I needed you the very first day that I gave my life to you. I pray that pride does not sneak into our lives or creep into our lives. But Moses was told to speak to the rock and that water would come out. And he said, must we bring water out of this rock? And then he struck it three times. Moses had lived up until that point in time focused on God was able to deliver from the Egyptians. God was able to part the Red Seas. God was able to bring manna from heaven. And God was able to cause there to be water that followed them around in their wilderness. God did all of that. And then in a moment of frustration, Moses said, must we do it? I'm telling you, pride is very dangerous. If the Holy Spirit puts his finger on an area in my life, I want to surrender it to God because I want God to get all the glory. I pray that you do as well. It's Friday. You go out and make it a great one for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whale and Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.